the purple dream of the America we have not been. The tropic empire seeking the warm sea, the last foray of aristocracy. Stephen Vincent Benet, John Brown's Body. Would that I could represent to you the dangerous nature of the ground, its oozing, spongy, and miry disposition. John James Audubon, The Birds of America, 1830. In New Orleans in June, the air is heavy with sex and death. Not violent death, but death by decay, overripeness, rotting. Death by drowning, suffocation, fever of unknown etiology. The place is physically dark. Dark like the negative of a photograph. Dark like an X-ray. The atmosphere absorbs its own light, never reflects light, but sucks it in until random objects glow with a morbid luminescence. The crypts above ground dominate certain vistas. In the hypnotic liquidity of the atmosphere, all motion slows into choreography. All people on the street move as if suspended in a precarious emulsion, and there seems only a technical distinction between the quick and the dead. One afternoon on St. Charles Avenue, I saw a woman die, fall forward over the wheel of her car. "Dead," pronounced an old woman who stood with me on the sidewalk a few inches from where the car had veered into a tree. After the police ambulance came, I followed the old woman through the aqueous light of the Pontchartrain Hotel garage and into the coffee shop. The death had seemed serious but casual, as if it had taken place in a pre-Columbian city where death was expected and did not, in the long run, count for much. "Whose fault is it?" the old woman was saying to the waitress in the coffee shop, her voice trailing off. "It's nobody's fault, Miss Clarice." "They can't help it, no. They can't help at all." I had thought they were talking about the death, but they were talking about the weather. "Richard used to work at the bureau, and he told me they can't help what comes in on the radar." The waitress paused as if for emphasis. "They simply cannot be held to account." "They just can't," the old woman said. "It comes in on the radar." The words hung in the air. I swallowed a piece of ice. "And we get it," the old woman said after a while. It was a fatalism I would come to recognize as endemic to the particular tone of New Orleans life. Bananas would rot and harbor tarantulas. Weather would come in on the radar and be bad. Children would take fever and die. Domestic arguments would end in knifings. The construction of highways would lead to graft and cracked pavement where the vines would shoot back. Affairs of state would turn on sexual jealousy, in New Orleans as if in Port-au-Prince, and all the king's men would turn on the king. The temporality of the place is operatic, childlike, the fatalism that of a culture dominated by wilderness. "All we know," said the mother of Carl Austin Weiss, of the son who had just shot and killed Huey Long in a corridor of the Louisiana State Capitol building in Baton Rouge, "is that he took living seriously." As it happens, I was taught to cook by someone from Louisiana, where an avid preoccupation with recipes and food among men was not unfamiliar to me. We lived together for some years, and I think we most fully understood each other when once I tried to kill him with a kitchen knife. I remember spending whole days cooking with N, perhaps the most pleasant days we spent together. He taught me to fry chicken, and to make a brown rice stuffing for fowl, and to chop endive with garlic and lemon juice, and to lace everything I did with Tabasco and Worcestershire and black pepper. The first present he ever gave me was a garlic press, and also the second, because I broke the first. One day on the Eastern Shore, we spent hours making shrimp bisque and then had an argument about how much salt it needed. And because he had been drinking Sazerac for several hours, he poured salt in to make his point. It was like brine, but we pretended it was fine. Throwing the chicken on the floor or the artichoke, buying crab boil, discussing endlessly the possibilities of an artichoke and oyster casserole. After I married, he still called me up occasionally for recipes. I guess you think this is a better machine than that WAP affair. I guess you think you have redwood flagstones in your backyard. I guess you think your mother used to be county cookie chairman. I guess you think I take up a lot of room in a small bed. I guess you think Schrafts has chocolate leaves. I guess you think Mr. Earl, Elbow Room, has more personality than I. I guess you think there are no lesbians in Nevada. I guess you think you know how to wash sweaters by hand. I guess you think you get picked on by Mary Jane and that people serve you bad whiskey. I guess you think you haven't got pernicious anemia. Take those vitamins. I guess you think Southerners are somewhat anachronistic, is a message that man left me when I was 22.